Technology is a mercy from Allah. When progress in all areas of science and technology is placed at the disposal of man, life becomes easier for people all over the world. There's a very important fact behind all this progress. Technology is an example of Almighty Allah's mercy on human beings. And all the scientists who appear to be the source of this progress are in fact merely instruments in these advances. Allah bestows knowledge on whom He wishes, when He wishes. Contrary to what most people think, technological progress does not run parallel to the passage of time. Let us consider some of the technological advances of the 20th century. Alternative current, the electric engine, radio, television, the development of mass communications, radar, sonar, cable-free energy, remote controls, thermodynamic engines, hydroelectric power plants, the arc lamp, the steam engine, lightning conductors, frequency measurement, speedometers, the Tesla coil, magnetic resonance, transformers, satellite communication technology, the neon lamp, fluorescent light, X-rays, the microwave. Amazingly enough, these discoveries belong to a single scientist. This genius, known to many as the architect of the 20th century, is Nikola Tesla, a scientist with more than 700 patents to his name. Nikola Tesla was born in 1856 in a village in Serbia, then part of the Ottoman Empire. After attending school there, he studied mechanics and electrics at the University of Prague. Tesla's father was a priest, and young Nikola received an intensive religious education at home until graduating from high school. Tesla's discoveries were all inspired by Allah. In his memoirs, Nikola Tesla describes how an image suddenly appeared before his eyes as he wandered around with a classmate through a park in Budapest. That image was of an electric engine. Tesla described that moment as so real, it was as if I could have touched it with my own hands. He described in his autobiography the technical details of the engine came into his mind at the same time as its appearance. Tesla immediately began making sketches in the sand using a twig in order not to forget. He had discovered a revolving magnetic field that sparked a revolution in the electricity industry. Tesla's later discoveries were also inspired in him in the same way. Indeed, Tesla believed that science could not advance in any other way, and described his way of invention without experimentation as follows in an interview. If someone seeks to build a vehicle, the design of which is still in the raw stage, by carrying out experiments, his mind will become caught up in the details of the vehicle. This person's concentration on the development and restructuring of the vehicle will decline, and he will lose the power to see the basic principles. Nikola Tesla, inventor of just about all the technological products in use today, stated at every opportunity that this intellectual prowess was not his, but was bestowed on him by Allah. Our mental prowess comes from Allah, the Divine Force. When we concentrate our minds on this fact, we become compatible with that force. This sphere of interest of mine is definitely not a chance one. I'm absolutely convinced it was bestowed on me by a divine power. Contrary to what is generally thought, we have no free will in terms of thought. Tesla's ideas were so far ahead of their time, he often encountered resistance when it came to putting his inventions into practice. When he first introduced the world to alternating currents, now commonly used across the world, his former partner Thomas Edison tried everything in his power to bury the idea by turning public opinion against it. This time, which has come to be known as War of the Currents, came to an end when Tesla illuminated the 1893 Chicago World Fair at a very low cost using alternating current alone. The inventions produced by this genius, known for his tasteful manner of dress and fastidiousness, were almost all greeted with suspicion, due to their being so far ahead of their time. and a good deal of prejudice prevented their being implemented for long periods of time. It is Allah who creates technology. He inspired this knowledge in the people He chooses at the time of His choosing. We have already seen how Tesla's famous cable-free energy transmission was employed in ancient Egypt. But the evidence for the technology employed in ancient Egypt goes much further than that. Electricity was widely used, especially on the Giza Plateau. Cable-free electricity, lighting, gold and silver plating, the production of the monoatomic gold known as manna, generators, and many other technologies all came to life in Egypt thousands of years ago. The snake equates to energy and an invisible power, not just in Egyptian, but in many ancient civilizations. In ancient China, a snake with the head of a dragon stands for an invisible force, electricity. In Hebrew, the same words stand for the snake and also for copper, the commonly used material in electric technology. Here you can see an image of a snake inside a bulb attached to a cable. This is an example of an exact representation of a modern arc lamp. The lighting used in Egypt was not limited to arc lamps. What you are seeing on the screen is an almost exact representation of modern light bulbs. Almost all forms of lighting technology were widely used in ancient Egyptian civilization, which date back some 5,000 years, for the particular use of Pharaoh and his circle. The Egyptians had discovered various ways of obtaining energy that are still applicable today. We have already seen in some detail how the Great Pyramid served as a piezoelectric plant. But what other means did the ancient Egyptians employ to obtain electricity? What you are now seeing on the screen is a Baghdad battery. There is a copper tube inside this simple earthenware jar, the mouth of which has been stopped up with bitumen. An iron rod inside this tube, closed at the bottom with a copper disc, is held in place by the bitumen at the top. The rod is in such a position as to hang suspended inside the tube, but without touching the insides at any point. When the jar is filled with an electrolyte, the result is a current manufacturing battery. This is the phenomenon known as electrochemical reaction, and is no different to the functioning of modern day batteries. The Baghdad battery was used as a mobile energy source in ancient Egypt. What you are now seeing on the screen is the Djed pillar. Let us now look at this shape in greater detail. The Djed pillar is frequently depicted alongside batteries and objects representing energy. In other words, the Djed pillar is also involved in depictions involving electricity. This object frequently used in ancient Egyptian and various nearby African civilizations is the first example of the modern battery. Alessandro Volta is regarded as having made the first battery in 1800 by placing layers of copper, zinc, and an electrolyte on top of one another four times over. If you place a copper plate, an electrolyte plate, and a zinc plate on top of one another four times, what you get is identical to the Djed pillar. Present-day depictions of a direct current are again identical to this pillar. Batteries manufacturing energy in exactly the same way were produced in ancient Egypt, thousands of years before Volta's first battery, and were also employed as mobile energy sources. The system depicted in the hand of the person shown in the hieroglyphic on the screen is a Leyden jar. The Leyden jar, the first example of modern-day capacitors, and discovered in the 18th century by E.G. von Kleist and Peter van Muschenbroek, was a bottle half filled with fluid such as water or mercury and containing a metal rod. The Leyden jar was used to store static electricity and was also used in ancient Egyptian civilization. Egyptologists made a new discovery on the Sinai Peninsula in 1904 and encountered a temple at an altitude of 2,070 meters here. Inside a chamber, in part of the temple which is carved into a mountain, they came across a powder whose use they were unable to determine. Subsequent investigations showed that this was the monoatomic gold known as manna. Mana is a monoatomic white powder produced by various complex chemical processes, including electricity, by burning gold in a specific way. This white powder is made up of high-spun gold and platinum group metals, and is not a new discovery. Mana was known as Shimana in ancient Mesopotamia, and is described as white bread in Exodus in the Old Testament. Mana was used in the treatment of various diseases and to increase mental capacity and perceptions, and was also used in ancient Egyptian civilization by Pharaoh and his court. Mana is known to have been consumed together with bread, and is depicted as the triangular prism in the reliefs now showing on the screen. The prophet Moses, peace be upon him, also knew how to manufacture mana. It is a known fact that during his time in Egypt, the prophet Moses, peace be upon him, was trained in all the knowledge of ancient Egypt in his capacity as crown prince. The prophet Moses, peace be upon him, knew almost everything that a chief priest might know, and was also taught how to produce mana, or monoatomic gold. Allah reveals in the Quran that when the prophet Moses, peace be upon him, fled Egypt with the people of Israel, they consumed mana in the desert. This is the mana we are discussing here, one of the events described by Allah in the Quran regarding when the prophet Moses, peace be upon him, returned from Mount Sinai, is the way that the Israelites were misled into making a calf of gold. The Quranic description of how the prophet Moses, peace be upon him, burned the calf to ashes and cast them into the sea is actually a description of how he obtained mana from that golden statue. No matter how much you heat gold, it never turns to ash. Heated gold melts and changes shape, but apart from the stages involved in making mana, it can never turn into ash. The ash into which the gold here turned into is in fact monoatomic gold. What else was mana used for in Egypt? We have already considered how the Ark of the Covenant was found inside an empty chamber, known as the Royal Chamber, inside the Great Pyramid, and how the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, took the Ark with him on leaving Egypt, and how Giza's source of thermal energy thus became inoperative. The fact that this gold leaf chest contained mana made it a superconductor. Because high-energy monoatomic particles are superconductors, in other words, mana was also used for energy in ancient Egypt. Egypt was not the only civilization in the ancient world to possess advanced technology. Traces of a civilization that has also used technology since ancient times can also be seen in India. The Ashoka pillars you are seeing on the screen is a column made from a single piece of iron, 7 meters high and weighing 6 tons. This iron pillar dates back 1,600 years. Because it is covered with a protective coating, it does not rust and has survived down to the present day. One can only dream of an equivalent iron column, not rusting or decaying in the monsoons in India, with its strong winds and high humidity. Techniques of working iron and protecting it against rust only began being developed after the 5th century. But this does not apply to the Ashoka pillar. It is one of the proofs that a civilization that existed in India thousands of years ago possessed a profound knowledge of metallurgy. The Antikythera mechanism. In 1902, sponge divers discovered a peculiar mechanism in the ruins of a sunken Roman ship off the coast of the island of Crete in the Aegean Sea. This particular ship had sunk in 87 BC. That mechanism was the first example of an analog computer. In 2010, scientists made an exact copy to see just how it worked. The fact that this analog computer was used thousands of years ago to calculate historic and astronomical data at the same time is of course totally amazing. Civilization, technology, and science are great blessings from Allah. All progress takes place through revelation from Allah. Allah has inspired societies with the technology He wished at the time He desired, and has elevated these societies to an advanced state of civilization. The fact that technology in use today was also employed thousands of years ago is of course one of the most obvious proofs of this. Contrary to what evolutionists maintain, civilization has never followed an evolutionary course, from the simple to the more advanced. Advanced and undeveloped civilizations have always coexisted on Earth.